Welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. Take control of your camera and develop the skills necessary to improve and master your photography. Join me, Dermot O'Donovan, John Myler and Darren J. Spoonley as they cut through the sometimes confusing jargon of photography to help you find your own style and decide what's best for you. A mix of educational, inspirational, honest and sometimes controversial content delivered in a unique, fun way from three of Ireland's talented photographers. Let's go.
Hello and welcome back to the Irish Photography Podcast. I'm your host this week, Darren J. Spoonley, and as usual, I'm joined by my two fun, happy-and-go-lucky co-hosts, Mr. Dermot O'Donovan and Mr. John Myler. Say hello, guys.
Well, guys, how we doing? How you keeping?
How you doing, Darren? How's it going? Hey, Dad.
How are you doing,
What's
John?
What's crack, boys?
I'm keeping good.
I'd like to have a bit of a topical discussion this evening. So I've got a couple of subjects that I'd really like to get your thoughts on. And the first one really is something that I kind of want to jump right into, because over the course of our photography journey, you know, we go through so many different phases. We learn some things, we forget some things, we can kind of find our comfort in things and find our comfort zones, and then we potentially can fall into a rut. And it really happens to people from a landscape photography point of view in the summertime, because it doesn't really allow you to get out to shoot sunrises and sunsets because the times are so off-putting. And the ironic thing really from a landscape photography point of view is, you know, it's warm, it's not freezing cold, but the time is wrong. Because when we're going out in the autumn, in the winter, in the spring, it's freezing cold, but the time is right. So a lot of people don't go taking photos in the summertime from a landscape photography point of view. And what I found myself was, you know, I wasn't really motivated to go. I was thinking, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to the seaside. Okay, am I going to have waves? No, it's going to be flat. I'm going to go to a woodland. Am I going to have color? No, it's just going to be green. So I decided to kind of look at it and say, okay, maybe I should challenge myself more from a photography point of view. And I really wanted to get you guys' thoughts on it, from obviously your both your different styles in photography. So I'll start with you, Dad. What do you think in regards to challenging yourself in photography?
Well, Darren, there's some very valid good points that you brought up there. Like, you know, the colours in the forest and all that, and it does be green. That, you know, you really want to wait till autumn to take those type of pictures. But from my own point, my own personal point of view, challenging myself, like I put up this video back in January 2018, where I had the most horrible photography season the whole year of 2017. It was just a bad year for me photographic wise. It wasn't that I was doing something wrong with the camera. My pictures were all, they're coming out quite fine. It's just that I didn't get out enough. Like I think I had 5 or 6 outings in the whole of 2017. And it did kind of start to take its toll on me mentally. And I was just gotten this rut and I didn't like where I was going. And it even got to the stage where I actually wasn't liking photography. It was just getting me down. It was just getting me down, discouraged about doing anything. And it's still carried over today. I still don't take out the camera unless something is really worth photographing in front of me. Now, I put out the video on YouTube in January 2018, challenging myself. I said it to you, Darren, that I'm going pushing myself in 2018.
You did?
I'm going to make myself a new man, a new person. And I said, that's it. This is a new me. And to this year already, I think we're, 8 months in, and I must have been out at least 30 to 40 times on different locations and doing new things. And I've also started underwater photography, scuba diving. And that has been the most challenging new aspect of photography. And I know all these settings up on land, but when you're underwater, it's an absolutely total different ballgame. And not only is it challenging photography-wise, but you're learning how to, on your buoyancy, to make sure yourself, that you're trying to keep yourself stable while you're trying to take photograph. And when if you're shooting at a shallow depth of field, just say 1.8 or 2.8, and if you're floating away or moving back or moving forward, your focus point is totally off. So I've learned to use more AI servo underwater. So that's even challenging even more. So it's just, I've really enjoyed this year so far, challenging myself and pushing myself to new things. And I really do feel like a new person or a new man. And as cheesy as it sounds, it is the truth.
That's brilliant. Yeah, that's really interesting as well, because it gives a good insight into from your own style. You know, you do a lot of photography and it's your business, but even taking that challenge and making yourself think differently and, you know, forcing yourself to get out there, I think it's probably made you a better photographer overall. How about you, John? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And just to go back there on what Dodd was saying, that in respect to you, Dodd, your wedding photography is absolutely superb. We've always said that. And seeing you back out on the landscape this year has been great. But one thing I have noticed, and you've touched on it there, is your underwater photography. I think it's been brilliant. For somebody who's only started off, it's been top class. You know, and you, no doubt, in a year's time, are going to be shooting some serious underwater footage. And it's going to go from photos to video. You know,
yeah,
I know it will.
Yeah, it will. You're probably right.
And I'm looking forward to see if you get any shots if you're abroad at some stage as well, maybe in clear waters. But I suppose, Darren, to touch on challenging yourself from my own point, yep, 100% agree. I have got into a rut as well. I think every photographer gets into a rut. I kind of look at it a bit like writer's block, that, you know, do you get into a runt in the summer? We all get it. But how do we get out of it? This year, ironically, as it sounds, I broke my camera a few weeks ago. Well, I won't say I broke it.
Women!
But it was an accident. And accidents happen, okay? But the camera broke, so be it. Which meant I couldn't do my photography for a while. But I had an old camera stuck away. You know, an old crop frame, crop sensor camera that I hadn't used in a long time.
But that's challenging. So I decided,
yeah, exactly. So I took it out of the bag, charged it up. And I said, right, I'm going to go off and challenge myself with my crop frame camera like I would have used a number of years ago. But boy, was it a whole new ball game for me. You know, I was putting on the lenses, my 16-35 lens, I'd rock up to a scene, this is going to be a great shot, and then you walk in, Jesus, I have to step back 10 feet. You know, little things like that was a challenge.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good point.
Yeah, and where actually is some comb was, and there's two challenges I gave myself, I'll touch on them really, really quickly. One was last weekend, which was my first sunrise shoot this summer. Right?
Wow.
And I would put a little bit down to laziness. Late nights, you know, my wife works long hours, so when she comes home on a Friday, we like to have a late night on Friday, late night on Saturday, so it's hard to get up in the mornings. But last week, I was up in Dublin, I went to the 40-foot, was out there just before 5 a.m., gorgeous. Took out the camera, and there was another photographer there as well, and he was standing on top of the steps where I wanted to get my shot, right? Obviously, I'm not going to ask him to move. Wouldn't be
push him in.
He was there to get a shot like me. Set up the camera, looked through the viewfinder. Oh my God, my composition was all over the place. My perspective was all off because I was not used to using my crop frame sensor. So it was a challenge for me to get a correct composition at a place I've never been before, 10, 15 minutes before the sun was rise.
Giant.
And I worked it on, yeah.
Was there a quality difference coming from a full frame back to a crop sensor? Did you notice in the picture quality itself?
It was like going from Sky HD to watching Air Sports with no HD.
Is it really?
It was, yeah. It was actually, I'll tell you what it was, and Darren knows this, right? I can see through my left eye. I can't see through my right eye. Like looking through my right eye half-heartedly. So yes, the quality was down. The image wasn't as sharp. But you know what? That doesn't matter. I was out there, made the effort to get out that morning. I wanted to get the shot, and I was happy to use whatever equipment I had with me. Luckily enough, I had a good piece of glass to put in front of the camera.
Okay, yeah.
And it did make a difference.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I mean, you're right too, because the glass, as we know, and we discussed it previously as well, you know, the glass makes a massive difference, but the sensor and what it can actually capture,
yeah,
is going to be a world of difference between the two. And that's the advantage, obviously, of having a full-frame camera. And I think it's a good challenge you mentioned, because, you know, you do fall into using your own tools. Like, I've seen both you guys with your cameras, and bang, 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 job done. You bring into you're moving to a different Canon, John, it's a 60D, things are slightly different as well, and you have to think differently. And that muscle memory effect has changed, you know.
So 100%. So that was last weekend, ironically, and that did work out well for me. And the shots I got two lovely shots from it, two what I would call keepers. Not as sharp as I would like to have, but nevertheless, they were good. Going back to challenging, Darren, you were talking about forestry there and greenery. I've gone into the forest more times this summer than I've ever done.
But John, yes. the reason why I think you go to your forest is you like this whole, myself and Darren talking recently about ICM, which is that I didn't even know what ICM was till Darren said it to me last week, in-camera movement. And I think that maybe for you, it's more of a place of zen and somewhere where you can do your in-camera movement, isn't it? Creativity. I'd say that would suit you more than a seascape. Maybe
I agree and disagree with you.
Okay.
I agree with you in the sense that I go there because it is very much a zen. I get an awful lot from being in a forest, mentally. With regards to the ICM, I've done it once or twice.
Okay.
You know, I probably got my best one, which is here beside me, last autumn. But I haven't done ICM recently. I might try when I'm out there, but I won't go out there to particularly take an ICM shot. It's nice. I like looking at it. It's quite arty. But it's not something I would go out specifically to take. So if I
That's actually interesting, John, because, you know, I kind of found myself in the summertime, as I was saying from the beginning, you know, and I kind of went, all right, you know what? There's this wood that I found a couple of months back. I did a vlog actually on there when I went scouting one day with just my Canon G7X. And I said, okay, you know what? Lovely summer's evening. It was early July, I think it was. I said, I'm going out to shoot. And where am I going to go? I'm going to go somewhere close. I wasn't going to go to the sea. I'll go to this woods and I'll see what I can do in the woods.
Yeah.
And the moment I arrived in the woods, I said, what am I going to do here today? You know, I'm just going to take photos. They're going to be the same as they always were. All the trees are going to be green. There was no atmosphere. Nothing. It's still a nice scene, but no atmosphere. So immediately something came to mind and I said, I'll have a go at ICM.
Yeah.
So every single photo that I did, I kind of said, okay, what different types of styles of photography in a creative way can you actually be? So I did some zoom bursts. I did some starbursts or sunbursts. And then I did some ICM as well. And, you know, from an ICM point of view, intentional camera movement, or you know, a number of people would try doing different forms of it. One person, actually, we all know her quite well, is Stephanie Johnson, who is really after carving a niche out for herself in an own style of photography of ICM. And she's done a phenomenal job in relation to it. And that's what I was thinking of when I was actually doing the shots there. And I think, you know, it really did challenge me and it kind of made me think about being more creative. And I actually did an episode of my vlog, which will be out shortly in regards to that. It might be out by the time this goes live. But that was the first thing. And I said, okay, you know what? It's actually good. It's good to think differently and it's good to try and get a different shot. And it was good to get the grey matter going in the mind and start thinking. And then it brought me to something which myself and Dad actually last weekend, you know, he came down from Limerick and we went out shooting in Mullinhassig Waterfall, middle of the summer, pissing rain, two guys walking through taking photos. And you kind of go, oh, Jesus, what are you doing? But I'd gone there with a plan and I wanted to do something. Yep. And what I did basically, I've never done before. And it was phenomenal. It was absolutely really, really good. It really pushed me to think differently. And really, I felt good challenging myself, and I found myself to be quite creative in what I was able to get, you know. So I really do think challenging yourself, you should do it all the time. You should do it in life. You should do it, you know, in work. You should do it in relationships. You should do it everything that you do. But from a photography point of view, I really do think it's massively beneficial overall to get out of your comfort zone and step into a place that you haven't been before. And guess what? You'll make mistakes. But as we have always said, you learn by doing.
Jesus, Darren. You sounded like something from Trainspotting there. Choose life, choose washing machine, choose something. Oh my God. It was brilliant to listen to, though. I was like, oh my God, is this Begbie, isn't it? Begbie from Trainspotting. Oh, it's funny. But Darren, sorry
for cutting across there. Just to wrap it up there, what I'm saying about the photography, you're absolutely right, Darren. And I know Stephanie well. I've shot on location with Stephanie a number of times. And the one thing that's impressive about Stephanie, Darren, as you would know, is she's self-taught. You know, she's taught herself. You know, she brought herself to where she is now, and she's focusing on that ICM as a career for herself, which is great, and she's doing very, very well in it. But what I was going to say about myself, Dodd, when you were asking about the Zen moment, is I've gone to the forest lately to take a shot, but I'm thinking how to be challenged myself in an editing purpose. Does that make sense?
No. Explain that now, because I am lost. Whatever you
I was recently in a place in the Burren. It's absolutely lovely. I don't know if you saw the photograph. It was a cave in the Burren. Beautiful place. I thought it was like Cambodia, and full of green. Maybe a few little yellows, but a lot of green. A little bit of bark on the ground, gave a bit of red. No photograph to be there, But I had it in my, so I'm going to challenge myself to get a photograph there. Well, I got the photograph, but the challenge came in the editing of it. So what I turned from a green, a greeny, but while I'm standing there, I'm looking at this green image, thinking of turning it completely artistic.
Yeah, I getcha.
And that was my challenge. And just to finally wrap it up, I would say to challenge yourself, if you're going to shoot with a zoom lens, why not go off with a prime lens Sunday? Or why not go off with the intentions of just looking for one colour? You know, they're little challenges, and maybe give yourself a little project to do over the autumn as well. Little small things like that just to get you back into your mojo going. But I have to say, yeah, spot on, Darren. That's a good topic, pal.
Okay. Yeah, and I think, look, it's something we can touch on again in future episodes. But I'd like to move on now, I suppose, really, to a quick break and a word from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
Welcome back, and I hope you enjoyed the first segment there of our podcast this evening. I'm your host, Aaron J. Spoonley, and I'm joined by Dermot O'Donovan and John Myler. And the next topic I'd really like to bring to the table here is something I think that could be either a Marmite moment. You'd either love it or you'd hate it. I think it's going to be controversial to a certain extent, but it's all down to opinion. And that is experts, and experts in photography more so. There's a number of them out there. They know everything about everything. And, you know, they seem to have an expert ability at every single style of photography, whether they've done it or not. And there's a couple of things that I would like to ask you guys in regards to that. And it kind of leads with this statement is, just by saying you're a pro, does that mean that you're a pro? So a pro photographer is somebody who earns their money from photography. But does that actually qualify you to say that you can be a pro photographer? I've seen amateur photographers that do a far better job than somebody who would call themselves a pro. And I'd like to get your ideas, I suppose, in regards to that. You know, are there experts in photography? Are there too many experts in photography? Are there experts in photography in one style which is justified and which is warranted? Or are there experts that they think they're an expert and they do have a comment on everything just for the sake of having a comment? And I suppose I'll go to you first on that there, John. What do you think?
God, that's a good topic of conversation, Darren, to be fair. But as an expert and do you know it all? Well, the one thing I would have to say to you is that when I was growing up, my father used to always say to me, nobody knows it all. And if you know it all, give up. So in that sense, like what do you call, what is a, when's a pro a pro? I wouldn't consider myself a professional photographer. I'd like to think I know a lot in the industry, but I'm certainly learning it every single day, both from people who are only introduce themselves to the journey and for those who may be on the photography journey longer than me. Because I'm constantly learning from everybody at everybody's different standard. I like to consider myself a professional person the way I approach my photography and the way I would handle myself on social media. I would like to consider myself quite professional in that sense too. But in the sense of a pro making money, am I making thousands and thousands and thousands like some pros out there? No, I am. Certainly am not. But a pro to me is somebody who's a role model as well. You know,
very good point.
No, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of guys out there now on YouTube now that, you know, have thousands and thousands of followers. Some of them are easy to listen to, some of them are not. I actually came across a guy today on YouTube, and I can't think of his name. If I can find it, I will tell you really quickly. But, you know, very, very easy to listen to. Nice guy. I would consider him a role model. And therefore, to me, he's a pro. Somebody who is going to, you know, constantly tell me, correct me, and I'm open to constructive criticism all the time. But if somebody's going to constantly criticize my work and under the emphasis that they think they know it all, to me, they're not a pro because they're not a professional the way they're approaching me.
How would they take criticism if you were to give it back?
I don't know. I wouldn't give it back because I wouldn't consider myself professional enough to give it back to them.
Yeah, true. But you know what? It doesn't mean that they call themselves a pro that you're not qualified to be able to give somebody criticism back. And that's the thing. You know, you can get people out there that have an opinion on everything and they'll tell you what they think, whether you like to hear it or not. They consider themselves better than you. But their images themselves aren't even going to warrant that. And that's not only something as well, like, you know, from we see pictures on social media, but people in real life as well, you know. And I mean, you know, there are some people that are doing an excellent job and they are an expert. And as you say, you'd look at them and go, wow, that is amazing. Everything that they produce is phenomenal. But when somebody is, like I say, producing mediocre work, but has a way about themselves, I would class it almost as snobbishness towards other people, thinking that they're better regardless. I think that's where I kind of get a bit annoyed. And that's when I asked the question, like I came up with it, which is just by, you know, saying that you're a pro, does it mean that you're a pro? And now, like, yeah, you know, bringing that, I suppose, then to another level, you know, Dodd, you are a pro. You work for a living with photography and you're taking your shots from a wedding point of view. And I think your shots are good. But do you think that other people might look at your shots and go, ah, yeah, they're okay? Or would they go, wow, he's doing a phenomenal job? Obviously, it shows when people are booking weddings. That's a certification in itself. But in general, what do you think?
I generally think that there's going to be people on both sides of the fence. So there's going to be some people who think I am crap. And that's going to be people who are just begrudgers. And there are people who just don't like me or like my style of photography. But then there's going to be other people who are in love with my work. And there'll be some people might find me inspirational, some might not. And some might say, okay, he's a very good photographer. And some might think he's a terrible photographer. But that's just the way life is. And that's just the way things roll. Talking me as a professional photographer, yes, I am a professional wedding photographer because I earn my money from weddings, and that's how I feed my children, that's how I pay for my house, that's how I do things in life. But I don't just stick to wedding photography. I outsource, I do other things. I sell landscape photography pictures, but not very many. But does that make me a professional landscape photographer? I don't think so. Even though I sell a few pictures, I don't see myself
exactly as does it make you an expert?
I don't think I'm an expert landscape photographer, so I keep that. Well, I don't keep, look, it's my hobby and I like to keep that as my hobby, because if I treat landscape photography as a job, I think I'll end up not liking it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
I fully agree with you. And I suppose, you know, in your mind, what do you think in regards to the topic of experts? Have you got people that you think are experts?
Yes, I do. I like, there's one guy that I in particular I follow. His name is I'm going to mess this one up, okay, but bear with me. Roberto Valenzuela. Okay, in normal English that's Roberto Valenzuela. I knew I'd mess it up. But he is a wedding photographer, and he's from he's obviously from Mexico or somewhere Spanish or Colombia, I don't know. But he lives in Beverly Hills in America. But this guy is off the charts. Like, he's just absolutely mesmerizing. And I follow him quite closely on Instagram and other places like that. But I wouldn't be one to copy his pictures in any way, shape or form. I'd use his pictures more of a way of inspiration. So if I saw a picture of his, I'd be like, God damn, that looks good. I wish I could be like him. You know, so, and it's funny that I actually say that because I only just bought one of his books last week, so I'm still waiting for Amazon to deliver.
Brilliant.
You know, so, but like, there I go. Like, I find him an expert in the field of photography, but I only think he's an expert in one field of photography. I don't think he, like myself, he would be amazing at, let's just say, landscape photography or dog photography. You know, he might have done it before, but I don't think he's a professional.
Yeah, very
in that field. And now there's one other guy that I follow extremely closely, and this guy has is very close to my heart, because scuba diving is very important to me, and it's something that I enjoy very thoroughly. And his name is Darren Jew, right? Darren, same lovely name as herself, but he spells his second name J-E-W. So David Woodland will get a crack out of that name. Private joke. So he's an underwater photographer, and this, like, everyone go look at Roberto, do what you want on Instagram, go look at him, but I would entice you to go look at Darren Jew. This guy is just mesmerizing. Whether you're into photography or not, just looking at his pictures will make you humble. It'll just make you just appreciate what he can do with a camera. And he doesn't even use strobes or anything. Everything is natural light under the water. And it's funny that I talk about these two guys, because these two guys are actually explorers of light. So photographers will know who or what explorers of light are. They are sponsored by Canon, and they are considered the top dogs in the profession of photography. And Darren Jew is also on Tales by Light, which is a Netflix series which has 6 episodes. And episode 1, Darren Jew was actually on Tales by Light, and it's fascinating. So that'll give you even a more of insight to see what Darren Jew and what he's about and how he does it by watching that season of Tales by Light. And they're only after releasing season 2, and I haven't even watched that yet, so I'm really looking forward to it. So you can just check that out on Netflix for yourselves, guys. It's just it's something that'll make you just appreciate what someone else can do with a camera. And it'll make you, it won't make you feel like crap, but it'll make you feel like, man, this guy's awesome, you know?
Inspired. Yes. And I think that's it. You know, look, if somebody is an expert, you consider them the best in their field, and they should inspire. That's what we do.
You know, that's why I was saying, you know? That's why I was saying about role models. A role model will inspire you. You know, did you just go back on that guy there, Dad? Did you say he shot underwater with natural light?
Natural light, man.
That's phenomenal, like.
Yeah.
And like, you know, at the end of the day, like, if he's shooting natural light, it's achievable.
And like, he doesn't even use it.
So he's inspiring.
He doesn't even use a scuba tank. He does it all free diving, and he just goes down with a camera, and he's photographing massive whales, huge whales, dolphins, and everything. So he holds his breath. I think he just holds it for about 20 minutes. Now, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but you get
small,
what I mean.
But I'd say, yeah. 19 you know. And a half.
Hey, Dad, you should give him the invitation to come on the podcast.
Oh, man, I'd love it. But
he'd be so mad to hear from.
I don't think he... yeah. You never know. You never know.
Never know.
Oh, yeah, you know, if you'd like to see him on the podcast, tag him in the post on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
Very true. And we're launching that as well, guys. We're pushing it nice and hard. So please join the photography group on the Irish Photography Podcast. We'd love it.
Yeah, you get a lot of behind the scenes stuff, you know, and you get an insight into what we're thinking. And you know what? Our listeners also can dictate what we're going to have on the show. So I think it's a good thing as well that if people want us to talk about certain things or take the Mickey out of certain things or get into a fight about the certain things, go on, let us know. It'll be interesting. I'm going to have fun doing it.
I'll fight anyone.
Guys, but I'll have fun.
I'll fight anyone.
I know this. Hashtag true story. So yeah, guys, I really enjoyed that actual part of it as well. And I think, you know what, let's talk about this further in some other episodes, I think, because, you know, just thinking about it there out loud, you know, I've got people who inspire me. You both have people that inspire ye. So why don't we look at that as well as kind of talk about them as profiles. Talk about
Darren,
them and why they inspired you.
Before we change to something else, who inspires you?
Ah, you see, look, there's so many answers to that question, you know.
No, but one.
Off top of your head.
One. Ah, okay. Well,
I know. You can't pick me. You can't pick me, okay?
Or me.
I can't pick you. I can't pick either of you. Look, I know that, right? And I can't pick myself because I do look in the mirror every morning. But, you know. something I suppose really, look, I kind of touched on it there in the first part of this episode. I was recently inspired by a photographer. He's a videographer and a vlogger. His name is Michael Sainbaum. Pronunciations is going to be bad for me as well, but he's in the US, and he did a video of waterfalls in slow motion, which is what inspired me to go out and shoot last weekend. And like I said, when I first saw that, I actually sent it on to you guys. I remember watching it
very good
with Dermot, actually, and we kind of had a voice thing going, and I kind of said, okay, let's get on the video here for a second. So I was looking at his face, watching it. Every scene was like, oh, jeez, oh, wow, this is amazing. And I kind of really was inspired to get out and do it. And I kind of, you know, I've done it, and it was fun, and it's really kind of pushing me to go further. And that's why I suppose, you know, Darren and Darren Jew, I want to look at this stuff, man, because... wow, like for me putting my camera under the water, it's a whole different world. And I mean, I've done scuba diving, but I've never done it with a camera. And I'm really envious from Dad's point of view that he's able to do it right now. I know I could do it again, but I want to see what's under the water more. And that's really inspiring to me. And that's current, that's fresh. So, you know, let's see how that progresses going forward. I probably end up having a bit of gas and wanting to have
shocker,
you know, all the gear, you know. I want to have the 8K red underwater housing so I can see all the intricate details. But anyway, yeah, hey, that's who inspires me from an expert point of view, and I'd consider somebody's work to dictate whether they're an expert or not.
What's his name, so the listeners can maybe go look him up.
Michael Slainbaum. I'll put the details.
How do you spell that, Darren?
In the show notes. Yeah, whatever. Move on. Yeah.
Darren, here, quick, before you go. We'll put him on the face. Hold on, before you go there, Darren. Yeah. You were saying about this guy inspiring you. And now we saw the video, okay? Now your viewers are going to have a treatment to do so when your video does come out. The scene that nobody knows what we're talking about, only the three of us, the scene with the boots going through the water. Did you come up with that yourself, or did you see it somewhere, or did he inspire you to that?
I let Dad answer that question.
Dad,
no comment. You'll just have to wait and see. No, I'm only joking. Now Darren said, you know, it's something that he wanted to do, and so I said, yeah, no problem, and I'll do it. But then something happened by accident. So, it just goes to show, you set out to go do something, and then something else happens by accident, and it ends up being more than what you wanted. It's weird, isn't it? Life is weird.
Darren, will you do me a favor, Darren?
Yeah.
When you put out that episode, you should be tagging Apple on that, because you made a big thing about shot an iPhone 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never know. And so the reason I'm saying this podcast is if Apple take you on and pay you a lot of money for that, I gave you the idea. I inspired you to give that to Apple. Okay, you got to hear it here first.
Okay, I like that idea. Yeah, let's see how it goes. Yeah, that was fun to do. It'll be out by the time this podcast goes live. So again, we'll link to the details in regards to the show notes on that. So yeah, guys, interesting to hear both your thoughts on that conversation. I think we got actually a couple of ideas for future podcasts because of it. So I'll take a break now, and we'll be right back again with the final part, which is our VSP.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
Welcome back to the Irish Photography Podcast and into our final segment of our VSP. And VSP for this week here for me is a product by a company called Joby. It is a GorillaPod. A number of people over the years would have used different versions, and they've come out with a new set now. And the one I'm talking about in particular is the 3K, but they've also got a 1K and a 5K. And the K means kgs in regards to what the weight it can hold. For those of people that don't know...
I thought it was going to be like 4K, 5K video or something.
yeah, you never know. But like, here's the thing interesting about it, right, is it's a mini tripod, but it's a tripod that has bendable legs, bendable arms. So you can position it no matter where you want to position it. And for me, I think it's something that will really, really change your photography, because you're no longer limited to certain things. If there's a tree, bang, throw it up there, you can get a composition from there. And where I find I'm going to be able to have the best benefit from something like this is it gives me freedom, because it's solid, it's good, it'll be able to take the weight of a vlogging camera from me, or even a SLR without a heavy lens. But I can use it from a tripod, but also you see a lot of people on YouTube that would use it for an extension on your arm from a vlogging point of view. And it really gives a good perspective there to be able to use it from that. You can then put it up on a tree, put it on a fence, put your camera wherever you want to put your camera. And that's something which is really good, because it's really strong. It really is good. It can hold its own positioning. You know, I've had different ones. I have another one that I have from Raleigh. And to be honest with you, it does nothing for me, because it has bendable arms, but you know that it's trying to copy these guys and what these guys actually have created. And the grip, the idea behind these, is far, far better. The stability is not going to fall off with your expensive camera hitting the ground. It's not going to move slightly during a shot or whatever it may have been. And I've used other ones over the years that they think they're knockoffs, really, but you think, how good could it be? These are good. What do you think? Have you guys used them?
I'll jump in there, Darren, if I can. Really quickly there. I was in China there a few years ago and I actually purchased one now. I don't think it was the... Okay, let's call a spade here. We used to go to the shop in China, right? You used to ask for the low-end rip-off or the high-end rip-off. Okay, and the high-end rip-off was still half the price of the real price. Okay,
did you just say what I think he said? There's a the high-end knockoff. And then, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's just the same with the watch, the same with everything, okay? Anybody's been where I've been, they'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I got this.
Hang on. Before you go any further, no, Dodd, you cannot go to China because you have a severe case of gas. And you'd have to go with an empty suitcase. And you'd probably end up buying around 3 suitcases for coming back. So no, you're not going to China. Sorry, John, move on there. My apologies. Go back to what you were saying.
I picked up a GorillaPod and I actually used it off a 35-story high apartment, which is fairly high over in China.
Wow.
Wrapped on a rail, on the outside of a rail, with my camera, which was my old camera at the time, attached to it, getting long exposures of the traffic going around the apartment across the way from it. And it was worth a treat. So I think
they're great. That's very creative now, John.
Well, the reason I done it was because I put my tripod under the balcony. But yeah, I had to think outside the box. John, I'm also using in the forest.
Did you poop your pants when you're doing that?
No.
You had full confidence in this product.
Full confidence, yeah. I did know, to be honest. And it was a long exposure. I got 30 seconds or something out of it.
And it didn't move. 35 stories high.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's class. Impressive.
It was a bit like John. He didn't move either when he was 35 stories high.
yeah, true.
Now,
true story, hashtag boy.
What I'd say there, Darren, you're dead right. Since our last podcast, I am now a married man, so... I don't think I would be allowed.
Congratulations. Hang on. Second moment of silence. Congratulations.
Yeah, there's another single man off the market there, guys. Yeah, I got married to the most beautiful woman in the world. So, moving on.
You said a couple of weeks back she was never going to listen to the podcast. Does that mean she's going to listen to it now?
No, I hope she listens to that part and that's about it.
Jesus. Jesus, Dodd, you'd bring a tear to a glass eye.
I know. But so I am definitely not allowed to go to China now. So moving on anyway, back to the VSP. Okay, so it is... is it Joby or Jobby? I think everyone has their own pronunciation of the name.
It's like a Lidl or a Lidl.
Yeah. So I actually have one.
It's a GorillaPod.
Yeah, we'll agree on that point. So I actually have one, but I haven't...
Unless you call it a gorilla. Depends on where you're from.
Oh, Jesus, shut up, Darren, let me talk. So I actually have one as well, but it is very old. I bought it when the first kind of came out, first started hitting the market. And it must be about 5 or 6 years old now. And when I first got it, it was very, very good, very sturdy and very stiff. And that's the thing about the Joby GorillaPods is that they're stiff and they don't move. Now, I've had, like I said, 5 or 6 years now, and it's starting to lose its stiffness. But this would have been an earlier model. So I'm sure that as time goes on, that they improve on things like a Mac or a computer or a Canon camera or a Sony camera, they improve on iterations above one another. So if I was very happy with the product that I've had from 5 or 6 years ago, God only knows how happy I'd be with this new 3K or 5K model that you would use for with the Joby GorillaPod. And the one thing that I would use it from a professional... excuse me, cat got my tongue there, professional standpoint, is that I'd use it at weddings nearly every time. So I would use a flash on the Joby GorillaPod. I wouldn't put my camera, I'd put a flash on it and I'd hang it from certain parts inside a dance floor.
Brilliant.
Or a tree where I'm photographing a couple where I don't need an assistant on the day. I can just use the Joby GorillaPod. Boom, there I go, using an off-camera flash and happy out. And the bride and the groom are always happy. Especially with off-camera flash shots, they're very creative, and it's something that separates. And going back to the last topic, a professional photographer from a cowboy photographer.
Very good. And actually, you know what? That's interesting too, because you, like I said, from taking a photo point of view, you're bringing it to another level. I can also use that as well to, you know, use it again. I presume I can get an attachment for it, since you've got one that will work with your flash. But I could put a mic on it. So I can put a mic up in a tree. I could be way away from the camera and just record directly in regards to that. And
I thought you were going to say you'd be up a tree.
I'd be up a tree too. That'd be the next one I'll try and do.
Monkey, yeah.
Well, it is a gorilla pod, but I mean, you know, gorillas don't really climb trees. But
that'd be our next vlog now for in the jungle.
Possibly, yeah.
I'll go with you. I'll do the video for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually... people will have seen it at this stage anyway, but you'll have seen the fantastic video work that Dermot did for me on the two aforementioned episodes that I would have done there that I spoke about earlier in this episode. So yeah, he's quite a good from that point of view. And look, actually, you were saying something there, Dot. How long have you had that, you said? 5 or 6 years, is it?
At least 5 or 6 years now at this stage, and it's only starting to see signs of wear now.
What did you pay for it?
No, I got the, it's called an SLR Zoom, so it's a ball head. So I paid a little bit extra for that part as well. And off the top of my head, Darren, I'd say I paid about €120 for the whole thing. That's with the ball head, the SLR Zoom head. £120, £130.
Tell me something else, you know, in reality, when we think about this in from photography point of view, that you pay €120 and it's going to last you 5 or 6 years or beyond. And that's really, really a good investment, you know. And I was looking at these at the moment, like, decided to go for the 3K one, right? And they're coming now in a kit. So it comes with the ball head.
Okay,
Or you can buy it. And you can buy it on its own or whatever it may have been. And like the price of these things is actually quite reasonable, you know. Like you've got... The 1K kit, which is, it'll take 1K in weight, and that'll cost you around €60.
Is that with the ball head? Yeah, okay, that's my question answered.
Yeah,
brilliant.
That's with the ball head, right? That's phenomenal, you know. And then the other one there, the one that I have, which is the 3K kit, that's around €99. That's with the ball head as well.
Darren, so how heavy is your camera
point of view? Well, I'm only going to use it for the Canon G7X, so that's not going to have any impact from a weight point of view. But if you've got a heavier camera, you can go up as far as the 5K kit. Now, that's the top end, I imagine it's going to be able to take quite a lot of weight. You know, so, I mean, 3 kgs, I really doubt if my Canon 6D and my 1635 is 3 kgs. I've never weighed it, but I really doubt that if it is that. But I wouldn't put the 70 to 200 onto it because I do think that's going to be a bit much. But you can get the 5K kit, including the ball head. And it's actually a very, very good ball head. And that's €195. So that's the top end one that you want to be able to put your camera on something and you know that it's going to have all the weight that you possibly want. And it's a really, really good quality and a really, really good design. And that's, for me, why I think, you know, it's really important to be able to have something that's right. And you mentioned there about your Gorillapod SLR Zoom. That's now €89.
€89.
Really, really good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really, really, really good price, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry to cut across, just thinking there. The one that I shot off the balcony was shot with my 60D with the battery, you know, the extra battery compartment that you put on your camera.
I think you have to be the most idiotic photographer. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. You've got me going now. Oh my God.
And my 24.
It'll be another episode. I can sense one.
And my 24-105 lens on that as well. So what's that weight? Don't ask me how much I paid for the Gorillapod.
Well, your cameraman to go with Weight Watchers, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that was a risk, John. That's unusual for you, my man.
Yeah. Got a shot, though.
Yeah. Get the shot at any cost.
Okay, all right. So you have a battery grip, you have a 24 to 70, 2.8, and you have a Canon, 60D. So
at the time, yeah.
Let's just see.
Oh, you had the 60 at that point. You bought that there.
Oh, sorry.
I bought my 6D over in China.
All right. So a Canon 5D3 would be 860 grams, right? So, and that's made of aluminium body. Now, the 6D itself is a plastic body, isn't it? Plastic body to save weight. So let's cut off, 200-300 grams off that?
Maybe.
So would the whole thing be 2.5 kg?
So it's battery grips. I haven't used a battery grip since, you know, but that does add a lot of weight to it. And 24-105 lens wouldn't be lightest.
It's two batteries.
Like. Yeah. It was a good weight for hanging off 34th, whatever, story high building.
It was brave.
John, I just simply, me personally, I wouldn't do it.
I must dig the photo. I must dig the photo out, actually.
Yeah, let's find the photo and put it up on the photography podcast page.
How long ago was this this picture taken?
It's a long time. It must be about 4 or 5 years ago now.
Okay, we need to put up a poll, right? We'll put up the picture and we'll put up a poll to say whether this picture is crap or not.
Oh, it is not great, like.
I'm just trying to make a fish out of you. Sorry. I'm just being bold here now, you know.
That's a really bitchy thing to say now. You're actually bringing a tear to my glass eye now.
I'll give you a virtual hug now. You ready? 1, 2, 3. There you go.
Yeah, felt that. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Enough of that. Let's move on, I suppose, into summarizing what I'm talking about here on this VSP for the week. It's a really, really good product. I think it's really, really good value. It's going to last you a long period of time. That's why it gets my vote as my VSP for this week. What do you say, guys? Would it be a VSP?
Darren.
Yep.
First of all, I'm going to say, what do you give it out of 10?
Oh, I don't know.
You have to give it 8 or 9. Because going forward, I think what we should do is we could do a table on our VSPs. You have to give it a mark out of 10. At the end of the year, the best product, we should give it away for prize. Brilliant for idea. Free. I'm joking. But no.
Well, you know what? Hopefully, yeah, we'll every single product that we do. I mean, if we're going to do a review of something, it's something that we have. So, you know... it should be worth something that's worthwhile for somebody to have themselves. So, yeah, okay. Let's see if we can find ways of making that work. And that gives us a challenge, guys, a challenge to try and find and make that happen.
Okay,
so,
Darren,
I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Darren, before you go there, are those prices based on Irish stores?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that where is that, Barker or Whelan's, or is it just general stores?
I'd say.
General, okay.
In general, prices in the Irish market. You probably will find certain fluctuations up or down slightly in regards to that, but that's the price that's there.
Yeah.
And I only ever quote prices, guys. I know you're different, but I only ever quote price on my VSPs on products that I want to support the Irish photography industry. I don't believe in spending my money on eBay or Amazon on my photography gear. I'll try and give it to Irish businesses.
I'll give you a clap there, buddy. I totally agree, but you know, I try shop Irish as much as I can, but if I can't get something here, I will go abroad. That's just me. And why are you making a funny face at me, Darren? I know the listeners can't see this now. And John, you're just as bad. And John, 2 years are the biggest children I've ever dealt with. And that's fresh coming from me.
You know what? It's about pressing buttons, and that's what photography is. And I know how to press a button on a camera, and I certainly know how to press a button on Dad. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10. Are we going to do votes and scores from you guys, or are we just going to leave it with the VSP of the person themselves?
John,
well, you can't really do that, though. Hang on, we can't do that if you haven't used the product.
No, but let's give a viewer score. We haven't used the product, but from what you detailed to us, we can give a viewer's. John, shush, a second. I'll bring you in there in a second. And I'll give you a big hug again, right? So let's just say, right, you have your VSP or kind of section where you say, right, I give it out of 10. But then the two other fools, Lala heads, can give an opinion score. So have you sold it to us or not, basically? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Now, John, I'll bring you in. Boom.
Yeah, I'm going to stick to my rip-off one because it didn't fall off the balcony.
Okay.
And it only cost me about 10 euro.
Okay, I'm going to give my opinion score, okay? And we'll mark this out for the rest of the season, guys, okay? So I'll write this down now. I'm going to give my opinion score of... That's a 3K model, yeah? So I can hold 3kg. Okay, and what's the price?
Yeah.
For that model?
For this model 60. Itself is 99 euro, including the ball head.
Okay, I'm giving it an 8 as well.
Okay, good stuff. So that's an 8 from me and an 8 from you. And what you say, John? 3 was it?
10 for the rip-off one. I take all your right, word so for look, it. I'll stick to 8 as well.
We can't all be politically correct. Let's
You can. Don't worry. We will fall out at some stage. Don't you worry.
That's okay. All right. So that gives us some total for that product of 24 or 30, which I think is quite a good score. So, yeah, guys, I'm going to wrap it up for this evening. I really enjoyed this episode. I'm happy that we kind of got some interesting things to talk about for future episodes. And, you know, for our listeners, I'd really like to thank them for tuning in. I'd like them to be able to help us out, get more people to listen into this podcast. If you enjoyed it, we really would appreciate it if you share it on social media, be it you a Facebook person or an Instagram person or a Twitter person. It would really, really help, because, you know, we've got opinions. I think you've got opinions. And if you want us to be able to have some fun, lighthearted, but also quite, I suppose, factual at times conversations on photography, I'd really appreciate that. So guys, thanks a million. Dodd, I'll talk to you soon. John, I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers. Sayonara, nice guys. Talk soon. Badoom.
Talk soon, boys.
All that malak. Good luck.
Okay. So thanks very much, guys. And until the next time, shlánga fóin.
If you've enjoyed the Irish Photography Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, guys, keep shooting.